Well, I mentioned a second ago my college days, and most of you have heard, you know, the longer I'm here, the more you hear my stories. And by now, you know that when I was a college student at Bethel, I was part of the Bethel College Choir. Now, I know the choir doesn't have kind of the cool factor that being involved in the sports does, but I tell you, I had a great experience doing that. We worked hard, and we produced a great result, which was rewarding. It was a great bunch of people. We had a lot of fun together, and we were all believers in God. So when we sang all those choir songs about God, we actually meant it, which was kind of a neat thing. Had a lot of respect for our choir director, Dr. Berglund. He was a taskmaster. Some people hated that. I actually kind of liked it. And he was very firm in rehearsal, but he did have a tender heart, and on occasion during rehearsals, he'd go into talking about, I don't know, expressing his love for God, or, you know, telling some thoughts that he had about things, godly things, I guess, as he was going through life. And one of those occasions, he began talking to us about good things that were happening in his adult daughter's life. She had met this great guy, which actually was fairly late in life for her, and they were getting married. Good things were happening in her career and in her spiritual life, and all of this was happening after many years of struggle for her. And so Dr. Berglund was feeling emotional about all of that stuff that day. And he said something then that I obviously still remember today. He said that sometimes you have to get to the end of the story, or at least pretty far along in it, before you can look back and see how God's hand was at work in your life. Sometimes you have to get to the end of the story, or at least pretty far along into it, before you can look back and see how God's hand was at work in your life. God had brought Dr. Berglund's daughter through a lengthy time of struggle, maybe suffering, I'm not sure. But now she was experiencing great things, and her dad could see, looking back, how God had used the hard times in her life to shape her and to bring about the good things that she was experiencing then. And he was giving thanks to God in his little talk with us during choir rehearsal that day. So sometimes you have to get to the end of the story, or at least pretty far along in it, before you can look back and see how God's hand was at work in your life. That was his testimony to us that day. We're going to be hearing some testimonies this morning along the same lines. And if you are on our church email distribution list, this is not going to surprise you, because I sent an email to all of you about a week and a half ago asking for stories that I might use in this sermon. And in essence, what I asked you in that email was if you had ever gone through something difficult in your life, and now as you look back on it, you can see that God was using those things to bring blessings to you in some way. Or he used it to, you know, mature you, mold you, that kind of thing. A few of you responded to that, and I'm going to use those responses today, although I've decided I'm just not going to use names, and I probably won't do a whole lot here describing the difficult experiences you went through. I'll concentrate instead on your testimonies to me about what God did in you as you went through that tough time in your life. So, yeah, we're going to look at testimonies today. First testimony of the morning, however, does not come from you all, but actually comes from the ancient king of Jerusalem and Judah, King Hezekiah. And so I will ask you to open your Bibles now with me to the 38th chapter of Isaiah, and we'll read his testimony together. And if you haven't been with us in recent weeks, I'll tell you now, we're in a sermon series on the book by and about this prophet named Isaiah. And yeah, there should be a black Bible there in front of you in the chairs that you can use for looking at Isaiah 38, if you didn't bring one from home. So Isaiah's pretty close to the middle of the book, a little more on the back end of the middle there. And if you're using the black Bibles in our chairs, you'll be able to find chapter 38 of Isaiah on page number 717. Okay, so here we go, a testimony from a man who lived about 2,600 years before us all, King Hezekiah. This is page number 717, Isaiah chapter 38, starting in verse 1, and it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you are going to die. You will not recover. I want to jog your memory for a second. If you were here the last time I preached to you, which was two Sundays ago, we were looking at the story of King Hezekiah that Sunday as well, how he had been a very good and godly king, but he made a really big mistake when he learned that his kingdom was likely to be attacked by the powerful and aggressive country of Assyria. And under that pressure, rather than turning to God for help, Hezekiah made an alliance with Egypt to try to get some protection from them. God was not pleased. I took a little time in that previous sermon to kind of so we could kind of think through why that would be such of a big deal. A sin, really, for an Israelite king to do something like that. And I'm not going to re-explain that to you here today. But yeah, this was a big deal, a big sin for King Hezekiah. Now, our story here in chapter 38 actually occurred before the events recorded in chapter 37, which we looked at in that previous sermon, the story about Assyria coming to lay siege to Jerusalem and God coming to rescue that city. So this chapter comes before that. And it may just be that the message from Isaiah that we just read to Hezekiah there, that he was going to die, it may be that that announcement came about as a response from God to Hezekiah due to his big sin of ignoring God and turning to Egypt for help at that time. We don't know that for sure, but it's a possibility. Okay, let's read on now. Again, Isaiah has just told Hezekiah that God had said, put your house in order because you're going to die. Here's verse 2. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and I have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend the city. So God heals King Hezekiah. And sometime after that healing had occurred, then the king wrote a poem or a psalm about his experience of being gravely ill and then being healed. And we have that for us there in the 38th chapter. I'll have you skip down to verse 9 now. And here is this testimony from Hezekiah I was telling you was coming. Verse 9 says, a writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and recovery. I said, in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord himself in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I've rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night, you made an end of me. I waited patiently until dawn, but like a lion, he broke my bones. Day and night you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I'm being threatened, Lord. Come to my aid. Well, these are the words of a human being who has suffered, right? Gone through a great suffering, a lengthy suffering, it appears. I waited patiently until dawn, he says there, for you to come rescue me. But I woke up and the situation was the same. And then verse 14 there, my eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. Lord, come to my aid. And then, at long last, the Lord did come to his aid and healed him. Verse 15, what can I say? He has spoken to me. He himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You've put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. For those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I'm doing today. Parents tell their children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me, and we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. So testimony number one for us today comes from this ancient king, Hezekiah, who went through this lengthy and terrible illness, then was healed by God. And Hezekiah had really two things to say, I think, in that poem we just read about how that experience had changed him. First off, he says in that passage there that his experience had humbled him. Verse 15, I will walk humbly all my years now because of this anguish of my soul. Don't you find it fascinating how we human beings, even though we, you know, all came from nothing just a few years ago, and we really did nothing to be able to interact with the world or to have talents or abilities, we get arrogant. That's amazing, isn't it? And it's true. We get arrogant, and I would guess that arrogance would be something that kings are especially tempted with. However, a near-death experience, like King Hezekiah had here, or a grave illness, those kinds of things have a way of humbling us. Part of Hezekiah's testimony there, he knows he's going to walk humbly with God now. The rest of his days, he had been changed. Secondly, Hezekiah also said there, essentially, that he now had a new appreciation for the Lord and that he was going to sing praise to God all of his remaining days on the earth. Verse 17, he said, in your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You've put all my sins behind your back. So Hezekiah had a direct experience of God here, of God's love and God's mercy for sin, maybe that sin of making that alliance with Egypt. This wasn't book knowledge now about God for Hezekiah. It was experiential knowledge. He had been at death's door. God had saved him. He was not about to forget that anytime soon. And it led to praise. Verse 20. I'm going to sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord. So King Hezekiah had this intense suffering. He cried out to God, literally shedding tears of grief. And at long last, God rescued him. And the Hezekiah's testimony that we've just looked at, looking back on his experience, was that God had changed him. He was now a more humble man. He had gained an appreciation of God out of that time. He knew he was going to praise God the rest of his life. And he wrote, verse 17, surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. It's interesting. Well, as we move from Hezekiah's testimony into some of yours, I should say here that this morning's sermon is not going to be a comprehensive look at this question of why there would be suffering in the world if there is a good God. We've done a lot of work on that topic here in the past, and I'm not intending to repeat those efforts today. If you're really stuck on that question in your life right now, please come see me. I'd be glad to steer you to some of those earlier sermons and on the internet, or I can get you a CD. But for today, yeah, we're not going to wrestle today with all of the whys here. We're just going to listen to some testimonies of what people believe God did in them after having gone through difficult times. I will say this, though. I think it's important probably to say regularly that I don't believe that every difficult thing that comes our way in life is there because God put it in our life on purpose in order to help us learn something or to make us into better people. I think he does do that from time to time. But I believe that the biblical teaching on this is that there can be all kinds of reasons why something bad might come into our life, and that many, and maybe even most, I don't know, of the hard things that happen to us are not because of God's direct intention for us to suffer that particular thing. Now, I do believe that God can and does use all the difficult things that come our way to mold us and mature us. But yeah, I don't think that all the hardship in our lives is put there directly because God wanted us to experience that particular suffering. And again, my previous sermons go into all of that, so you can come see me about this if you'd like to. So let's get into our testimonies now from you. Here are some of the things that some of you told me about experiences you've had. One of you wrote to me that after walking through the deaths of a number of beloved family members, you had found that God had made himself present with you as you experienced those painful events. God showed himself to be a steady, unchanging companion for you, both in the best and worst of times in life. And you wrote that you had learned through these things that no matter what might come in to you in life in the future, you know now that you can get through it because God will be with you. In other words, your experience of God being with you in those times of suffering deepened your trust in him rather than destroying it. Another one of you wrote to me that the times of suffering in your life have moved you into depending upon God more and upon yourself less. That's something that shaky circumstances can do for us, right? We start to depend on God more and upon ourselves less. And the same person also said that after going through suffering, they had gained a greater appreciation for what Jesus did for us on the cross. And at other times, our Messiah knew great suffering. Another one of you told me of a time in your life when you, like many people in our culture, got swept up into your demanding job, and both your family and your health began to suffer because of it. And it took a pretty significant and life-shaking experience in order to get you to make a change. So this person's testimony was that when they turned to God for help with this life-shaking event that they were dealing with, and they allowed God to guide them, God began opening doors for a new set of circumstances that ended up meeting all of this person's needs and his family's needs. His family began seeing things fall into place for them that were pretty close to being miraculous. So some confirmations that God was in this. And in the end, this person says that he had learned through the difficulty of that suffering time how important it was for him to be at home for his family. He says that it made him a better dad, a better spiritual leader in his home, a better husband, a better follower of Christ. All because of a time of suffering that God had used to change him. So, sounds to me like suffering can be used to make us into more godly, more intentionally loving people. Well, if you've been around here for a while, you know by now that I too have gone through some difficult experiences in my life, and I thought I'd join in here and testify to some of what I've seen God do in me and for me through those dark times. So grateful to him. Told you in the past that some of, not all, but some of the difficult things I faced in my life came as the result of my own mistakes and sinful choices. And I can tell you that I learned through that I never want that to happen again. I never want the difficult things in my life to be because of my sins. I mean, there are enough painful things to go through in life that I don't need to be adding to them, right? So yeah, I would say that's one thing God taught me through that my suffering in the past was that he helped me to change my behaviors and sin less. God certainly taught me humility through those events, as Hezekiah testified to as well. And I learned through those experiences, just how vital God's mercy is and how lost we are without it. Also led me to realize how important it is for me then to extend mercy to others for their mistakes. Similar to the person who God led through that desperately needed job change, I would say that one of the best things that came to my life from having gone through dark times is that I got to see God's hand at work rescuing me and providing for me. I learned that God is a rescuer and provider. I saw it happening with my own two eyes. And so this suffering allowed me to, like Hezekiah, have an experience of God at work rather than just having head knowledge. God did some amazing things, and I want to honor and praise him. You know what else I learned through that, though? I learned that God often rescues and provides on a timetable that is much slower than what you or I would really like. Okay? He is a rescuer and a provider, but he often rescues and provides on a timetable much slower than what we would like. This is a truth. And I'm certain it's because there are so many other factors going on in our lives, going on in the lives of those we come into contact with, even the lives of those we don't come into contact with, things happening in the spiritual realm that we have no idea about. And God is waiting for the perfect time to act, given all of those factors. So we have to be patient and trust in him while we suffer. We wait for God to move. And then the final thing I would say that I've learned from going through difficult stuff in my life is this. Because I've seen God change me in the past and mature me through hard things, I've learned that difficult circumstances are not always necessarily bad things for us. In fact, I think sometimes encountering difficult circumstances can be the best thing for us. Now, don't misunderstand me. I still go through all the emotions that most of us go through when confronted with hard, painful things. Hard, painful experiences that come my way in life make me want to eat ice cream. That's not good, because I already wanted to eat ice cream. I'm guessing you can relate to this. So yeah, I get down, I take my couple of days of eating ice cream. But you know what? Because of what I have experienced now of God in my past, what I've seen him do in me through difficult things, I do move more quickly now than I used to the place of viewing that new hard circumstance as not necessarily a bad thing for me. And I know now that God can use difficult things for great good in me and in others, even in setting up future good circumstances for me or for others that we're going to get to because of this. So I don't do this perfectly, but I do get there more quickly than I used to because of what I've learned through my past difficulties. I'm waiting to see what God, you know, you wait to see what God is going to do. So that's a change that he's made in me through my past experiences. Well, I have one more remaining testimony I want to end with this morning, and this one comes by way of Facebook. You know that we've been praying for John Hinrich's niece, Tabitha, and her daughter, Bella, for quite a long time now, and their family. Most of you will know that. Bella was diagnosed with liver cancer 2 years ago when she was 4 years old, and she then had to go through extensive chemotherapy. She had a partial liver transplant, which, after a number of months, when it looked like it was going to work out, and then it failed. And she had to wait for another liver through a donor to come available while she was quite sick. Last October, she received that second liver transplant. None of this, of course, was what you would dream or imagine for your family as you bring children into the world. There has been a tremendous amount of grief and pain, both physical and emotional, in this story. Great suffering here, both for little Bella and also for her parents, who I'm sure ached to their cores for their daughter. So we've been doing a lot of praying for Bella over the last couple of years, and I followed the story on Facebook pretty avidly for a while. My daughter Maya is the same age as Bella, so it is not hard for me to empathize. But I have to confess, just over the last 6 months, I kind of stopped following it. And I haven't given you an update in a long time. Janet Hinrich, when she received my email asking about testimonies of times that you've gone through struggle and what God did in you, she suggested that I look again at Bella's story on Facebook. And so I'm so glad she did that, and I'm quite happy to give you today, all you who have prayed for Bella in the past, an update on her status. I'm guessing a good number of you know this news already, but some probably don't. I think the last time I sent out emails to you all to pray, she was really struggling with some complications from that second liver transplant, some things that were worth being worried about. Here now, however, are some posts from this summer, from June 19. Tabitha writes on June 19, "All smiles today. Our monthly checkup went so wonderfully. In fact, for the first time ever, we heard our GI doctor say she cannot find anything wrong with Bella. The best..." Oh, man. This is hopeless. "The best part..." It's worth it. Hang with me. The best part of our visit was freeing Bella from her last PICC line, and I can imagine Bella spent most of the last 2 years having tubes and PICC lines attached to her. So that was a celebration day. And then a post from June 24. "It's such a great feeling to have our liver team, hematology team, and oncology team all very pleased with where Bella is at. God is good." And then we jump ahead to August 10, just last week, where Tabitha wrote that Bella's skin is normal now, and she has so much hair compared to last year. She can play and run without being tired. Moving quickly into some pictures, here is This is a picture of Bella right before her transplant in October. And you can see how jaundiced she was there. And then a picture of her from this summer. And can tell she's at the same stage as Maya. With all the dress up and stuff. And then also a family picture of her these days. And could we just take a... Let's thank the Lord. You can clap. I can't get the words out, but you know what I want. Thank you, Lord. And we ask the Lord that you would continue to bless this family and smooth the path before them. That's awesome. And we'll continue to pray for her, right? Well, Tabitha often gives thanks to God in her Facebook posts, and she had this to say in a recent post about what this experience of suffering had done for them and their family. She writes, "Cancer has changed us. It has morphed us into unrecognizable people. What used to be a big deal in our pre-cancer world is now petty stuff. And just when we thought we were doing things right, cancer came and knocked us back down to earth. Our minds have taken a beating and we've been forever changed." And then she linked there an article which she said totally fits their experience. It was an article in which mothers of kids who had or had gone through cancer were interviewed, and they were asked what they saw differently in life now since cancer had changed their worlds. And I'm just going to give you two of the things these mothers said about their experiences in that article. Some of the mothers reported having much more empathy for others who were going through difficult things because of this experience. And many of the mothers echoed what Tabitha had said there, that things that used to be a big deal in life now no longer seemed big. One person wrote that I find myself no longer contributing to drama or to harboring negative feelings about other people. Life is too short to get all wrapped up in little disagreements. Similarly, these women found themselves being way more appreciative of normal life things. Even the grind of busy school schedules with kids' sports and activities. The mom who highlighted that said that when your kid has cancer, you'd give your right arm to be at events like that. So another mom wrote, I'm more grateful for the small things in life. And another wrote, life is really too short not to be happy. So the perspective on life for these people had greatly changed due to their suffering. A testimony here from Tabitha and these other women like her after having experienced the immense suffering of having a child with cancer. Okay, well, we've actually gathered quite a nice little list here of testimonies and things that people have said that God did in them after having gone through suffering. And let's take a look at it in summary. Hezekiah had said that his suffering experience had humbled him forever. And after being saved from it, that experience had deepened his love for God. Some of you wrote to me that your experience had deepened your trust in God, those experiences had moved you into depending upon God more and upon yourself less, that these things had helped you to appreciate what Jesus went through for us, all the suffering he went through. You said that suffering had moved you into being a more godly, more intentionally loving person. I said to you that the dark times in my past have helped me change my behaviors and sin less. Showed me how vital God's mercy is, and helped me to realize how important it is for me to also extend mercy to others for their mistakes. I told you that my dark times allowed me to have an experience of God rescuing me and providing for me. And also these things taught me that God often rescues and provides on a timetable that's much slower than what we would like. So we need to be patient and trust him while we suffer. And then Tabitha and the other moms testified that their suffering had given them more empathy for others going through tough things. And their suffering had greatly changed their perspective on life. Things that used to look big to them now looked small. They no longer got worked up over small disagreements or harbored negative feelings towards others. They appreciated the small blessings in life, and they decided that life was too short not to be happy. Well, you know, I think probably the lesson for us to be drawn from all that we've looked at here is what I another thing that I said about things I had learned from my experiences that I did not put on the summary list there, and that was this, that difficult circumstances are not always necessarily bad things. In fact, sometimes encountering difficult circumstances can be the best thing for us. Now, I'm not signing up for my kid to get cancer. Horrible, horrible stuff. And I really don't want to make light at all of what families who have kids, sick kids, experience. And then please remember that I said earlier, I don't believe that all bad things that come our way are there because God put them in our lives in order to form our characters. I do, however, find it interesting that even in this most extreme form of suffering, childhood cancer, God still can bring good out of it. And I also believe certainly in the less extreme forms of difficulty and pain that there's a truth here for us. Difficult circumstances are not always necessarily bad things for us. In fact, God can use them to change us in ways that nothing else can. So, perhaps when hard things come our way, after, you know, having your 2 days of eating ice cream, we ought to work to alter our perspective on that new difficult thing, remembering that God may bring some incredible good out of it. That choir conductor of mine, Dr. Berglund, said, sometimes you have to get to the end of the story, or at least pretty far into it, before you're able to look back and see how God's hand was at work in your life. I think that's true. And of course, the ultimate fulfillment of that statement for those who have been saved by the blood of Jesus will come after we die and wake up in heaven. You know, unless Jesus comes soon, we're all going to die. And so the ultimate rescue for us won't come until we reach heaven. It will be then that we'll be able to see clearly all that God had done for us and for the good of others in the world. All of our wounds and sicknesses will be healed. I imagine it won't be too different than these pictures we saw of Bella before and after her transplant surgery. Right? In heaven, we're all going to be healed and we're all going to be full of life and vigor and joy. So yeah, when you hit that next tough thing in your life, pause. Breathe. Remember, God can bring great good things out of hard things. And entrust yourself to God, knowing that if you look to Him, He will always come in the end to rescue you and provide for you. May God remind us of these things as we move forward in our lives. He is good and trustworthy.